All right, and so lastly, I get the opportunity to invite or introduce the person who's bringing the word to us today, and that's Tony Pita. Yeah, you get excited about that. You get excited about that. I said I met Tony about 10 years ago when the church planted, and a couple things stuck out from when I met Tony. One, he has an incredible testimony that he's very, it's inspirational. He's able to share very well. You can tell that it's on the tip of his tongue to share whenever the opportunity arises. So it's incredible respect for him in that. But the second thing that's, I think, even more important, he's able to verbalize what God's purpose in his life is. And the again, very early on in meeting him, he recounted the story where at the end of the Gospels, Jesus, after he's resurrected and he comes back and appears to the disciples, asks Peter, who denied him previously, denied that he knew him, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Of course I love you." And what did Jesus instruct Peter to do? "Feed my sheep." So it's the challenge that Jesus had for disciples of being outwardly focused, not inwardly focused, is something that my experience with Tony has done over his life. He's an outwardly focused individual when it comes to sharing the gospel with people. So we're ready for a good one today. Here's Tony.
Good morning, everyone. I mean, it's such a privilege to be able to be up here and, you know, just share the good news, right? To share the gospel, to share what Jesus has done. We've been in a summer, you know, series called Encounter. Jesus changes everything. Do you guys agree in that? Jesus changes everything. You know, an encounter with Jesus changes everything. And, I mean, it's just, we've been hearing about so many encounters so far, you know, like the woman with the issue of blood, where she just says, "If I could just touch his garment, I will be healed," right? What an encounter with Jesus. You know, you have Matthew's encounter with Jesus, where he's a tax collector. Jesus says, "Follow me," and everybody's like, "Do you not know who this guy is? He's a tax collector. He's a crook." But Jesus says, "Follow me." You know, then we also heard about, you know, the guy that was paralyzed, where his friends are like trying to get him to Jesus. And I could just imagine, I always imagine just them getting there, but it's you can't get to Jesus because it's so many people. So then they said, we got to get him to the top of the roof. We got to tear the roof off. You know, they bring him down to Jesus. Jesus heals him. You know, it says that he gets up, picks up his mat, and he walks out of there. Now, talk about an encounter with Jesus. And that's what we have again this morning. I just want to read one of my favorite encounters that we read in the Bible. But if you guys could ask yourself, like, what's my encounter with Jesus, right? What's your encounter story going to be like? If you had to share your story with someone, your encounter story, what would it look like? What would it be? So we're going to have the verses up here. I'm going to read about Paul's conversion, right? Paul, I mean, there's 27 books in the New Testament, 27, and Paul, for, you know, he wrote 13 of them, right? Paul wrote 13 of them, but he wasn't always on board. He wasn't always a believer from the get-go of Jesus, right? So we're going to read on Paul, but real quick, just to give you a little bit of what who he was before, I'm going to read out of Acts 7:57, and this is where I'm going to start off at. It says, at this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him. They're rushing at Stephen, one of the original disciples that Jesus had. So Stephen's out there just sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, sharing the truth about Jesus, but they don't want to hear it, right? So at this point, he's about to get stoned to death, so they're rushing him. Right, they rushed him, they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, which is Paul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of their killing him. All right, so this is Paul. He's approving of them killing one of Jesus' disciples. And I always just picture Paul just having this, you know, Grinch-like, the old school Grinch-like smile that he's just smiling that, man, this, we just did something good, right? We put down one of those, you know, foolish Jesus believers. You know, I would just picture him just having that evil laugh, you know. But then we start off in Acts chapter 9, where Saul is still trying to put a lot of these people down, right? A lot of the people that followed Jesus. So in chapter 9, verse 1, starts off with, "Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?'" I like the way, you know, Saul, Paul responds, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he sees a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." So obviously, yeah, Paul, you know, they know about him, right? They know his intention, right? What he's coming to do. And Ananias is like, "Jesus, do you not know who this guy is? Like, man, he's coming here to kill, like, me and the rest of us." This is what Jesus says. "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, 'Brother Saul.'" How about that? 1 minute he's afraid, the next minute he's calling him brother. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach." How about that, church? It didn't take years. It didn't take months. I mean, at once, that encounter with Jesus, at once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest?" Encounter with Jesus, man, it changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, that's something you can't argue with. I mean, what is your encounter story? It doesn't have to be anything this special, right? Like, a lot of times I get that, like, man, I wish my encounter story was as cool as yours. And it's like, man, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, some of you guys, are probably thinking to yourselves, Tony, man, that's all great. You know, you're telling us about Paul, how he converted over. But man, that happened a long, long, long time ago. Stuff like that doesn't happen anymore, Tony. That stuff ain't happening out here anymore. You know, you guys think this is it, right? This is where it ends. But church, it doesn't. It doesn't end there, all right? You know, I'm going to transition this into, like, my testimony, my encounter story with Jesus, because I haven't always been a believer of Christ. I have not. Far from it, right? So I am originally from Chicago. I moved here in 97. When I was in Chicago, I was in a street gang. I was Aladdin King in Chicago, just raising havoc, right? My parents were like, man, this kid's getting out of trouble. We got to get him out of here, and we got to get him. We got to get him out of here. In Chicago, I mean, some of this stuff, honestly, guys, I didn't share in the first service. Holy Spirit's just giving it to me right now. So in Chicago, man, I remember we went up and we shot up the gangster disciples, the black gangster disciples. We went, shot them up. We were told, stay off the streets. The streets are going to be hot. Stay off the streets. I remember saying, man, I'll be ready. Let him come. I'm ready, right? I was not ready. I was not prepared, right? We were hanging out in the hood. Ice cream truck came by. Man, who doesn't like ice cream? I had to go get me an ice cream cone. I had to go get me a vanilla soft serve ice cream cone. I remember I'm just leaning on this pickup truck on the street, just eating ice cream, when all of a sudden a black gangster disciple pulls up right in front of me, pulls a gun on me. I mean, we're talking short range. I just froze, right? He starts blasting. I freeze. I mean, I see out of the corner of my eyes, everybody else is belly down on the ground. I mean, I just froze. I don't know if I froze so that I wouldn't get hit. Maybe if I went down, I mean, I would have gotten hit. I just froze, guys. I literally froze. I was not ready, right? I wasn't ready for that. His gun jammed. He takes off. They all come running to me. Tony, where'd you get hit? Where'd you get hit? I don't feel a thing. I don't feel anything. I'm looking for blood. I don't see anything. Sirens start headed our way. We just take off, right? The next day I go back. I'm like, man, how did he not hit me? I go to the truck I was leaning on, and I see there was bullet holes on the side. I mean, we're talking at a close distance from here to the podium. I mean, he just stopped. I was leaning on the truck. Just starts shooting at me. How do you miss God, right? God said, it's not your time yet, Tony. I wasn't a believer then, but I always said, man, I'm just lucky. I am lucky. So my parents say, we got to get him out. We're going to Indiana. We're going to Kendallville. I've never heard of Kendallville, guys. I thought we were going to Indianapolis. I said, I could do Indy. We move here, middle of the night. It was just dark. We get to Nelson Estate Apartments. That's where we moved to. Not all of them were built yet, so I remember the next morning, I'm going to go explore Indianapolis, right? So I walk out of Nelson Estates, and I just see a cornfield, and I'm like, man, this don't look like Indy. I turn to my right, and there's like a barn, and there's like a donkey or a mule, and I'm like, yeah, definitely not Indianapolis, right? So I was still in high school. You know, I get enrolled into East Noble, so I remember stepping foot into East Noble High School. And yeah, back then in 97, it was different than what it is now. Like, there wasn't a lot of people that looked like me. So I'm like, man, I'm gonna get lynched. I mean, I was scared. I was scared. The only time I ever saw white people back in Chicago were cops or my teachers. So I was like, man, I'm in trouble, right? But when my parents took me out of there, they thought, well, once we get him out of there, he's good, right? But that's normally not what happens. You ever heard that? You know, you could get the you know, guy out of the hood, but you can't get the hood out of the guy, right? That was me. Immediately, I just went looking for people who could, you know, who smoke weed. Now, who all here smokes weed? Because that's what I like to do. I like to smoke weed. Found some people. Wasn't hard. You know, smoked weed, you know, through high school. Barely graduated. You know, I've never involved with anything. I just wanted to get out of here. I always told myself when I turned 18, I'm moving back to Chicago. My goal, honestly, was to be, you know, in command of the Latin Kings. That's where I'm going to go back. I'm going to join the gang again, and that's where I wanted to be. I'm going to go back to Chicago and do that, but God had other plans, right? I started working here, got me a job, was happy with the pay, still smoking weed, but then I noticed in the community here, nobody's really selling cocaine. So I got a market here if I start selling cocaine. So I call my connections. I'm like, man, if you guys got some coke, man, send it to me. I'll make a killing. You know, they start sending me cocaine. You know, this is all we want back. The rest is your profit. Making killer money selling cocaine here in Kendallville. Killer money. Like, it was insane what kids were paying me for an eight ball. I mean, it was insane. So I'm just, keep it coming. Like I said, some of the stuff I didn't share, I'm giving you guys a little bit more details than what I did first service. It got to the point where some other guys were starting to notice how much weight I was pushing in Kendallville, where they're like, dude, what if we start going to California and start bringing semis? You know, start moving semis for us. Easy money. As easy as you're doing it, dude, you'll be rich in no time. But I just remember in a dream, guys. I remember in a dream, I'm on top of a roof, and there's just like a little crack. But I'm afraid to walk over this little crack because I feel like I'm going to fall down. I see it. I'm high up. And I'm just telling myself, like, man, there's no way I could fit through that crack. My body physically doesn't fit. But it was like, but if you fall, it is a long, long fall down. So I was like, yeah, I'm not selling truckloads of cocaine. I'll just sell what I'm selling, right? Making money, we'd go to the clubs. I mean, people, I had a big group with me every weekend. I mean, everything's on me. I mean, I got money, right? So everything was on me. It wasn't until I got introduced. Some guy I was hanging with, he says, yo, man, you ever cook this stuff? Like, I've never cooked it. I wasn't addicted to coke. I would take a little bit of it, but I wasn't addicted to it. Really wasn't addicted to weed either. Just smoked it here and there. But, you know, it was like, have you ever cooked this stuff? I said, nah. So he's like, you're about to have your mind blown. So he cooks me some. Right? I took my first hit of crack. It was game over. Addicted immediately. Like, it took me, man. I remember, yeah, I was just hitting that crack pipe like nothing. Like, that high was just incredible. So I understand, right? If there's somebody here this morning, Tony, you have no idea what it is to be an addict. Dude, I absolutely understand you, right? It's not as easy as, why don't you just drop the pipe? Why don't you just drop this? Why don't you just drop the needle? It's not that easy, right? You're just hooked, man. It's got you. The addiction is crazy. You just can't say no to it. I mean, it went to the point where I was making money to I was just spending my own money towards it. Man, I'm going broke because my paycheck from work is now going towards crack cocaine, man. It was crazy. You know, once again, something I didn't share first service. It was on a Good Friday. I just had enough. Like, man, I'm just done. I'm done. I remember getting a bunch of cocaine. I'm like, I'm just going to end my life now. Right? I put all this coke on the table. I snort the whole thing because I'm just like, this is the way I'm going out. I'm going out with just, I want my heart to explode. I snort the whole thing. I mean, my heart started pounding like crazy. I thought that was it for me. But I guess once again, God had other plans for me. That wasn't the end, right? That wasn't the end. You know, so it's getting to the point where, man, crack just has a hold of me. During that time, my dad, he's a diabetic. His kidneys start failing. He's on dialysis. Dialysis isn't working. They tell him, hey, you need a kidney transplant. So me and one of my sisters, we went to go see who was compatible. I was compatible. So now I'm like, man, the doctors are going to say there's no way this crackhead could donate a kidney, right? That's what I'm thinking. Doctors didn't say nothing. Doctor said, you get to go. I donated a kidney to my dad. You know, we're 18 years today. Me and my dad's doing great. He's fine. Praise God. Once again, God's at work, right? I'm not a believer of Jesus. When people at work would invite me to come to a church event, I'd cuss them out. I wasn't even polite. I'd cuss them out. Like, no way. You ain't going to catch me doing that. Shortly after that, my younger sister, she gets in a car accident, bad car accident, thought she was gone. She's in a coma. They said if she ever wakes up from a coma, she won't be able to walk or talk ever again. Well, she was here this morning, walked under her own power. I mean, she's married now. She works for Parkview Noble. I mean, God is good. Amen. God is good. So at this point, I have no idea my sister's going to church. One of the nights I went to go visit her at the hospital, her pastor's there, right? So I just felt right there, I felt compelled. I'm like, Holly, maybe we need to start going to church because I think God's just knocking at her door. It's time to, something's got to change. So we start going to church, but I'm not changing. I go to church, I'm still smoking crack afterwards, right? I'm still hitting that crack pipe afterwards. I got to get that high. I got to get that high. Well, my wife, she ends up getting saved. She gets baptized, and I immediately see a change in her. And she keeps telling me, you need Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm like, I don't understand how that works. You know, you just surrender to him. I said, well, maybe once I put the crack pipe down, I quit cussing, I quit drinking, I'll come to Jesus. But that's not how it works, she says. Only Jesus can cleanse you. I could not comprehend that, right? I work with a guy that just started working there right out of college. Super nice kid. But I remember he comes up to me at work, says, hey, Tony, if you quit cussing, can you speak English? You know, I took it as a racist comment. Cussed him out, man. Cussed him out. Yo, man, like, you racist, bro. And he says, no, I've never heard you speak a full sentence without cussing. So I don't even know if you speak English. Man, cussed him out, right? So I told him, never talk to me again. He walks, you know, walks away from me. But yeah, so I'm addicted to crack. I'm no longer paying my mortgage because I just got to get this hit, man. I got to get this fixed. I got, oh, man, it's got control of my life. So all of a sudden, the bank calls me, says, hey, we're about to repossess your house. You haven't been paying your mortgage for 3-4 months. And I said, well, you guys can't take my house. I got kids. Well, that's your problem. You haven't been paying the mortgage. I said, you pay us $80,000 by Monday, you get to keep the house. Where in the world am I going to come up with 80 grand in a couple days? So I remember, yeah, Saturday, Sunday comes around, we go to church. That Sunday, I don't remember hitting the crack pipe, but I also remember I couldn't sleep. Everybody's sleeping. I'm like, man, I'm about to lose my house. I'm about to make my family go homeless. What in the world am I doing? Right, so I just remember I'm in my living room, everybody's sleeping. I'm just like, what am I doing? It was at that point I had an encounter with Jesus. I got on my knees. I said, Lord, if you are who you say you are, I surrender to you, and I will serve you the rest of my life. Church, I tell you what, I got up from praying, from surrendering to Jesus. Never once craved crack since then. Never once craved it. I mean, he took it away from me immediately. I didn't drink. He just, like, as my wife was telling me, only he could cleanse you. I mean, he did a job. He cleansed me. He cleaned me up. And he said, just feed my sheep. So that's what I've been doing, guys. I've been just sharing the good news about Jesus because, man, he is real. He is the real deal. He is legit, all right? There's no, this stuff here, it's alive and well today, all right? It's alive and well today, all right? I remember when I was coming here in 97, I guess word got out to a lot of the kids at school, like, don't talk to that dude. That dude's crazy. That guy is trouble. I remember that was word. Oh, yeah, this guy's a gangster from Chicago. Don't talk to him. So I remember, man, he's not here today, but I'm going to shout out to Jason Mead. Who knows Jason Mead? I know a lot of people know Jason Mead, right? Jason Mead comes up to me at lunch, sits at my table, says, yo, man, they told me not to come talk to you, but I want to see who you are, right? That dude's been amazing since day one, right? Had another friend I started hanging out with. I remember going to his house, and he pulls up like a block away. I'm like, what's up? He says, I can't have my parents see you with me. Like, they told me not to hang out with you, so just wait here. I'll run home. So I'm like, seriously? I remember asking a girl out back then, and she said, man, my dad will kill me if he finds out I'm dating you. And I was like, am I really that bad? I look back, I'm like, yeah, I would not want my daughters dating someone like me. So guys, it was crazy, right? When my wife got saved and I wasn't saved, I mean, she was going to church. We went from going 0 days to church, now she's going Monday, Wednesday, Sunday. Like, what was going on? She's got to be seeing someone there, right? I start following. I start going to church. You know, what's going on? Monday night Bible study. I'm there, right? There was a lot of beautiful stuff in here. I kept coming. I kept bringing the cookies. I bring the cookies. You brew the coffee, man. But I was still hitting the crack pipe. I was still hitting that crack pipe. It wasn't until I surrendered to Jesus that he took that away from me, all right? So I don't know, church, where you're at this morning, if you've had an encounter with him or not. This is what the Lord gave me, okay? I believe that a lot of you have had an encounter with Fairview Fellowship Church, but you haven't had an encounter with Jesus yet, all right? Don't get it twisted. I am super happy that you're here. We're glad that you're all here. But an encounter with Fairview Fellowship Church is not going to get you to heaven. It's an encounter with Jesus that's going to get you there, all right? Listen. And it's not me talking crazy. You know, I'm going to turn to John 3:3. I don't have a slide for that. But John 3:3, just follow along with me. If you want to turn there, you could turn there, underline it, whatever you want to do. We're going to go to John 3:3 real quick, all right? It talks about Nicodemus, who's a teacher. I mean, he's like a he's just a teacher that is like, what's going on? I want to know the truth. So he sneaks in the middle of the night to ask Jesus, like, what must I do, man? Like, what do I need to do to get to this? And Jesus tells him in John 3:3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. All right? Highlight that, underline it, whatever. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Amen? That's red letter stuff. That's Jesus. That's not Tony Pita. That is Jesus 1,000%. So guys, what is your encounter story? What's it look like? Have you had one yet? If you haven't, what's holding you back? Surely, if Jesus could take someone like Paul, right? This guy was legit killing Christians, yet Jesus says, I could use you, right? If Jesus could take the scum of society like myself, a crackhead. Guys, I sold a lot of cocaine to a lot of kids, man. I was selling cocaine to high school kids. I didn't care who I was selling it to as long as I was making money. That's the scum of society. You guys call me scum of society? I'm not going to argue with you because that's who I was. I was the scum of society, but Jesus had other plans for me. He could have taken me back in, you know, when I got shot, when I snorted all that coke because I was done. Jesus said, no. No, it's not time for you yet. What does he refer to when he's talking, you know, telling Ananias about Paul, right? I'm going to go there real quick. Let me find my spot. But he says, you know, Ananias is like, do you not know who this guy is? He says, this man is my chosen instrument, all right? It's not, does anyone else here want to be a chosen instrument for God? The King of Kings, the only one that could cleanse you. Don't let Satan lie to you. Don't let Satan tell you that, man, you're too far gone, man. You're smoking weed, you're drinking, whatever it is. Guys, I don't know. Can anybody be more worse? You know, not that we're playing a game, right? Like, who's worse, who's better? But, guys, I was a little crack. Literally, I was a crackhead. I was selling cocaine to kids. But Jesus said, you're perfect for me. That's who I need. I need you. You're the one that's going to proclaim my truth, all right? I don't know where you guys are at. What's keeping you back from saying, you know what, Jesus, I surrender? Because that's the word, guys. The only way you can see the kingdom of God is to be born again. If you're not born again, what is it that's keeping you? What's that little lie that Satan keeps telling you, right? Satan's already been defeated. I don't know if you guys know that, right? He's already been defeated. There's nothing he can do unless you just believe his lie. Jesus has already paid the ultimate price. So there shouldn't be nothing keeping you from surrendering to Jesus. Like, you got to surrender. You got to give it all up. You got to give it all up, right? Don't be like the young rich ruler in the Bible that comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus says, follow my commandments. Don't steal, don't kill. And he says, oh, yeah, I've been doing that since I was a kid. Well, then Jesus is perfect. Now give all your fortune to the poor. And then he's like, man, I can't do that. And he leaves disappointed. He didn't want to surrender at all. Don't be like the young rich ruler. I mean, what are you traded in for eternity in heaven? Like, I mean, it's, guys, I want to encourage you guys. We all have a great encounter story. Like I said, some people have told me, oh, man, I wish my story was as cool as yours. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't, man. I mean, it was a lot of suffering, right? A lot of suffering for me to come to Jesus. But, man, I wouldn't trade it for a thing. It's the best thing I've ever done. Best thing I've ever done, guys. So I just want to encourage you guys. The scriptures are alive and well today. You don't have to sit there and just believe the lies of Satan. Don't believe those lies, church. All right, I'm going to have John and the band come up. But I want to encourage you guys. You know, we've had people praying up here already. The altar's open. Somebody here wants to say, you know, man, I'm done playing games. I just want to surrender to Jesus. I mean, prayer warriors, if you're here, Linda, want to get your team, we'll pray over you guys. Like, don't let Satan win. Get this victory, guys. Get it, all right? The victory's ours. We just got to accept it, all right? It's just so simple. You guys play a little bit of music, but I'm gonna say one more word, right? You guys know I'm a big Cubs fan. I mean, I used to have a blue Impala, Cubby blue license plate. I mean, big Cubs fan, right? Wear the jerseys or hats. I mean, I could drive to Wrigley Field. I could drive to Wrigley Field and walk up to the gates, and they're gonna say, "Well, where's your ticket?" Well, pretty obviously, I'm a Cubs fan, right? I got the hat. Check the car. Check the license plate. Yo, I got Cubs socks. I mean, I'm a Cubs fan. You don't have a ticket, though. You can't come in. But it's pretty obvious. I look like a Cubs fan. I am a Cubs fan, diehard Cubs fan. But where's the ticket? Without the ticket, you can't go in, right? I mean, somebody go in there wearing nothing but Ohio State stuff. Ohio State stuff. You got a ticket, boom, you're in, right? You're not even dressed apart. There's no Ohio State game going on. It's baseball, right? It's the Cubs versus anybody. But without the ticket, you don't go in. You know, you got the ticket, you're in. What I'm trying to say is Jesus is that ticket. You can look the part, you can look like a Christian, but if you don't have that ticket, which is Jesus, there's no entry. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. So church, they're getting ready to lead us in a song, powerful song, Break Every Chain. I know you've heard it, but I feel led when Mark asked me to speak. I just felt led, man. Hopefully the worship team plays this song, because there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. So whatever chain there is right now that's holding you back from the truth, that's holding you back from eternal life, whatever chain it is, there is power in the name of Jesus. Please do not spend another second, another minute, another day, another hour believing the lies that, man, I'm too far gone. There's no possible way that I could ever be accepted into heaven. Absolute lies from the pit of hell, guys. No joke. That's Satan lying to you. You're never too far gone. Jesus loves you. Jesus went to the cross for you. Like I said, the price has already been paid, all right? Don't let Satan lie to you one more time. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Church, seriously, I love you. I couldn't wait for this day to share this with you. Just have a blessed, blessed day. Do not let Satan keep lying to you guys. We are greater than that. We are amazing, guys, all right? You guys, I love you, for real. Like, guys, don't let Satan lie to you. Let's come and surrender to Jesus. Love you guys.
That's what hit me at first.
All right. I just was reminded, I forgot to, I guess, tell you guys what happened with my house, right? I almost lost my house. My house almost got repossessed. So I went to work that Monday, like, okay, where am I going to come up with 80 grand? That guy I cussed out because I thought he was racist, because he asked me if I would quit cussing. Can I speak English? Well, he's walking by. I'm not going to lunch because I'm just, how am I going to get money? So the bank had called me, and I told them I don't have the money. They said, if you could just pay us $1,300, you could keep your house. Well, I don't even have that. I am completely broke. Crack has left me with $0. All right, I am broke. So $1,300 is still something I don't have. So I see this kid walking by. I said, yo, Matt, come here, man. Like, you look like you're a smart dude. How do I take money out of my 401k? He says, you don't want to do that, man. That's for when you retire. I'm like, yeah, but I need money because I'm about to lose my house. And then, yo, you got kids, don't you? I'm like, yeah. He says, well, you can't lose your house. I'm like, that's what I'm saying. So he takes out his checkbook, writes me a check for $1,300, says, pay me back whenever you can, right? So I'm just there like, whoa, he just gives me a check. Pay me back when you can, walks away. I'm like, yo, Matt, hold on a second. Are you a Christian? He says, I sure am. I said, bro, like, I just gave my heart to the Lord Sunday night. He says, no way. He says, that day you cussed me out, I went home and I told my brother, like, man, I work with this dude that needs Jesus bad. Man, he says, we've been praying for you, man. We've been praying for you to come to know Jesus. So now I can't wait to go home and tell my brother that our prayer's been answered. Man, is God good or what? Church, I know you guys all have amazing stories. Don't be quiet on them, man. Speak them out. Let other people know that you've been in the presence of Jesus. Amen. Just let them know that I've been in the presence of Jesus. And if Jesus could do this for me, he can most definitely do it for anyone. Church, love you guys. Love you guys.